back to the Brittany Hughes Show. Happy Thursday, everybody. Americans now say that immigration is the most important issue facing the United States. This is according to a new Gallup poll that found that 28% of respondents said immigration was the top issue facing the country. That's up from 20% who said the same thing just a month ago. The issue of immigration is starting to become more and more concerning to Americans across all demographics and the political spectrum. And it's really no surprise, right? It's no surprise because as much as the liberal media tries to hide it, as much as the Biden administration tries to hide it, as much as Democrats try to hide it, the effects of this ridiculous, insane open border policy that we have faced, not only under Joe Biden for the past 3 years, but under the Obama administration that predated the Trump administration, right? Really, this is not just a Joe Biden issue. It has been exacerbated under Joe Biden. Illegal immigration has reached unprecedented levels under Joe Biden. But this is really a problem that first existed under the Obama administration. Donald Trump actually campaigned on fixing it, made a little bit of headway in the 4 years that he was president, not as much as many of us would have liked to have seen, in large part thanks to leftists and thanks to courts, but was able to at least curb it through some policies, through some executive orders, and basically through his campaign rhetoric that discouraged people from making the journey to come here illegally because they figured, well, even if I get there, this country is being run by an administration right now that's not going to let me stay. So whether that was true or not, we saw illegal immigration drop under the Trump administration, and now it has reached unprecedented historic levels under Joe Biden, which is exactly, by the way, what Biden campaigned on, exactly what Biden promised, and exactly what he started doing on day one. And now we have stories like this. Of course, unless you've been living under a rock this past week, everyone has now heard the story of Laken Riley. It's a horrific, tragic, infuriating story about a murder that should never have happened because the accused killer should never have been in this country in the first place. So last week, news shook the media. Well, the right-leaning media, at least. The leftist media has reported on the story and has absolutely tried their best to bury known details about it, to keep from reporting exactly what happened. They try to skew this as something different than what actually happened, which is that a 22-year-old college student named Laken Riley was found brutally beaten to death on the University of Georgia campus. Police say that she was killed sometime between 9 a.m. and 1 p.m. when she was out for a run. So we're not talking about a young lady who, you know, was drunk as a skunk stumbling back home from a bar, although that's, again, not a justification for killing anybody. We're not saying that. But we're not talking about somebody who, you know, was out in the middle of the night or who was making, you know, what might have been a questionable decision as far as, you know, just basic safety is concerned. Again, anybody should be able to go anywhere without risk of being bludgeoned to death by a complete stranger. But we're talking about a young woman who was doing absolutely nothing wrong, wasn't even doing anything, you know, risky, wasn't even doing anything ill-advised. She simply went out for a jog in broad daylight on her own college campus, which should have been the safest place for her. And next thing you know, authorities are finding her body. Police say she was bludgeoned so badly that her killer disfigured her skull. Jose Antonio Ibarra, a 26-year-old illegal alien from Venezuela, has been arrested for her murder. Ibarra had reportedly crossed into the United States illegally in September of 2022. He was apprehended by ICE, but he was released into this country, of course, as the Biden administration has been apt to do. We don't actually check these people unless they've got, you know, a billboard on their forehead, which some MS-13 members do. But even then, half the time we end up letting them into the country because, again, can't judge, right? Especially if the guy is 15 or 16 years old, we have to treat them like an alien minor. So we're letting in sometimes known criminal aliens. But those that we don't know about, we have no idea their history. We have no idea, you know, the people that we are allowing into this country, including people like Ibarra. And that's made even worse by the fact that we have a litany of so-called sanctuary cities across this country that not only allow people like this into their communities, that not only welcome them with open arms, give them tax-funded welfare programs and tax-funded education for their children, but that actively protect them from deportation even when they are known criminals. So Athens, Georgia Mayor Kelly Gertz, who is a Democrat, of course, after the body of Lake and Riley was found just mutilated in the woods next to her campus, after this 22-year-old promising nursing student was found dead for no good reason whatsoever, he actually sought to downplay concerns that illegal immigration had anything at all to do with her murder, when in fact it has everything to do with it. Jose Ibarra was an illegal alien who, if he had not been allowed into this country, which he shouldn't have been, according to the federal laws that Biden has been ignoring for the past 3 years, he would not have been in the country to kill Riley in the first place. So yes, a system that imports criminals that shouldn't be here has everything to do with the crimes that they commit when they get here. They are directly related. They cannot be unlinked. But Gertz, who is a Democrat, likely with his own political, you know, aspirations and therefore a specific set of rear ends that he's got to kiss, he has to tout the party line, right? He's got to spin the narrative. And how does he do that? Well, he pulls out the left's favorite broken record and tries to bash Trump. Here he is.
Humanity is the expectation of human dignity. While 2019 was not that long ago, you might remember the dynamic we were living in the late teens in this country, where you had the President of the United States speaking in the most vile terms about people who were foreign born. And you had that notion metastasizing in places like Charlottesville.
And you can hear just how outraged the audience is at this, right? Here you've got a mayor in a town where a 22-year-old woman was just found beaten to death, allegedly by an illegal alien who, according to this town's own policies, according to this city's own policies, was a welcome member of the community. And so now he has to pretend like illegal immigration had nothing to do with this. We're not actually at fault for any of this. None of this has anything to do with the slews of unvetted, unknown migrants that we have welcomed into our neighborhoods and put up in our city streets. And we have no idea who they are. And we have no idea where they've come from or what crimes they may or may not have committed. As a matter of fact, they may have committed crimes in other areas of the country. And we're going to protect them from deportation. But none of that has anything to do with the fact that one of them just beat a college student to death in broad daylight on a campus. He has to spin this because Athens is a self-declared sanctuary city. That's the policy that Gertz announced after the city council passed it back in 2019. Here is Gertz 5 years ago declaring that everyone was welcome in Athens regardless of their immigration status.
The Athens-Clark County Unified Government is welcoming to people from all lands and backgrounds and strives to foster a community where individuals and families of all statuses feel safe, are able to prosper, and can breathe free.
And in fact, Fox News reports that back in 2020, Athens-Clark County Sheriff John Williams campaigned on not cooperating with ICE, not allowing them to take federal custody of illegal aliens who have been convicted of crimes because he wanted to avoid creating a, quote, culture of fear. And that's exactly what this city did. They protected illegal aliens. They protected criminal aliens. Jose Ibarra, Lake and Riley's accused murderer, fit well within that category. He not only allegedly bashed in this beautiful 22-year-old woman's skull while assaulting her, he had a rap sheet. The first illegal act, of course, that he committed was coming into this country unlawfully, which he did in September of 2022, and he was subsequently released because we have no border whatsoever. In August of 2023, less than a year after coming into this country, all under the Biden administration, by the way, Ibarra was then arrested in New York City, another sanctuary city, and charged with acting in a manner to injure a child less than 17 and with motor vehicle license violations. So this is a guy that was likely driving without a license because he's an illegal alien and shouldn't have been operating a motor vehicle. But then again, you know, who cares, right? And then acting in a manner to injure a child less than 17. He posed a threat to a child He had already been charged with crimes in this country. ICE officials claimed he was released from law enforcement custody in New York City before immigration authorities could take him into custody. This is according to CBS News. Meanwhile, New York officials claim they have no record of his arrest, probably because when it's an illegal alien, they just, you know, write it down on a cocktail napkin and a crayon, and then they pass them out to drug addicts to wipe away all the blow. I don't know. He then shows up in Athens, a sanctuary city that purposefully welcomes illegal aliens, that intentionally refuses to cooperate with ICE. And now Lake and Riley is dead. Her family gets to live with her loss for the rest of their lives. A community, her friends, are deprived of her presence because she went out for a jog and never came home. And her blood is on the hands of everyone involved in this corrupt system, and they can't admit it. So they have to skew the narrative, even though they know everybody with eyes and a functioning brainstem can see what is happening here. They have to cover and pretend like they're not at fault. They cannot admit their own culpability in this. And neither, of course, can the White House. When asked this week about the Biden administration's response to Riley's murder, Karine Jean-Pierre, you know, the presidential mouthpiece that can barely formulate a sentence and yet somehow still has a job at the White House speaking on behalf of this administration, which actually makes perfect sense because the gobbledygook that comes out of her pie hole pretty directly reflects the insanity that is happening in this administration. Her response was about as useful as a screen door on a submarine. Here was the White House trying to cover up their own culpability in this young lady's brutal murder.
Karine, has the president spoken to the family of Lake and Hope Riley, the young Georgia student who was murdered allegedly at the hands of an undocumented immigrant?
So first of all, I do want to extend our deepest condolences to the family and loved ones of Lake and Hope Riley. Given this is an active case, I'm going to be really careful about speaking to that case more specifically. I would have to refer anything specific to that case to law enforcement and obviously ICE. And I don't have anything regarding to the president speaking to the family, but it is heartbreaking. I can't even imagine.
Of course Biden hasn't spoken to the family. Of course he hasn't. It took him like 2 years for him to find East Palestine, Ohio on a map. The best his administration has ever been able to do on the border is to send Kamala Harris to, you know, within a few miles of it to sort of wander around looking like a blind goose in a blizzard, having a stroke. So of course he hasn't met with Lake and Riley's family. I'd eat my own shoe if he ever did. Of course, unless, you know, somebody in his camp tells him that maybe it would earn him a few points towards putting out the dumpster fire of a situation he's created. And even then, I'm not sure that he would ever actually do it. He can't meet with Lake and Riley's family. He can't look them in the eye and say, we understand that an illegal alien murdered your child. We're not going to do anything about the policies that fueled this, by the way. We're not going to actually fix it. We want these people here. We have been actively trying to import these people. We have been covering for these people. We have been directing law enforcement agencies not to deport these people, not to take custody of these people, hand them over to immigration authorities. What's he going to say to this family? What could he possibly have to say? It's funny how thoughts and prayers are mocked, by the way, when conservatives pledge to pray for families of shooting victims. You notice that, right? That's the best Karine Jean-Pierre has to offer, right? Not we're going to take a hard look at these policies. Not this shouldn't have happened and here's how we're going to prevent it from happening again. Not here's how we're going to assure the American people that we are on this and that this is not tolerable and we are going to fix this. No, no, no. Our thoughts are with the family. When a tragedy happens that no law or policy or rule would have prevented because evil people find ways of doing evil things, conservatives are widely mocked for sending thoughts and prayers. We don't want your thoughts and prayers. Your thoughts and prayers are useless. But see, when Biden knowingly imports more criminals, which is one thing we do actually have some control over, we could actually do something about. That is a known broken system with known changes that could be made to fix it. When that happens, and that criminal goes on to murder an innocent college girl, then it's all thoughts and prayers and it's fine. Just moving on, right? And the leftist media have been all too happy to carry water for this administration. All too happy to frame this story, which has been so big that they can't actually ignore it. Otherwise, you know, when a story can just be swept under the rug like it didn't happen, that's what we see. But when something is so big, so upsetting, riles a community so much, draws the attention of conservative media who are actually reporting the truth on it, the leftist media has to respond, but they twist it, right? They have to shift it somehow to make it seem like what you're being told isn't 100% the truth. Here's Jake Tapper's summary of Lake and Riley's murder over on CNN.
So Republicans obviously seizing on this horrific tragedy at the University of Georgia. This girl, this nursing student killed by an undocumented Venezuelan migrant. And they're seizing on this as an example of Biden's failure to protect the American people and to secure the border.
So this is another Republicans pounce scenario, right? Republicans seize. It's not, this is clearly a broken system. This is clearly a broken policy. This is clearly a dangerous policy that is allowing dangerous people into this country. And now innocent people are paying the price for it. No. This was just sort of, this was a one-off tragedy that could have happened to anybody, anywhere. And Republicans are seizing on this young woman's murder to drive a political agenda. That's the spin, right? Oh, it's just, you know, these Republicans, they're just, you know, they're taking this story and they're just using it as a soapbox. Well, somebody first of all has to bring it to light, because if Republicans didn't do it, if conservatives didn't do it, if right-leaning media didn't do it, then you wouldn't have heard this story at all. It would have just been completely, you know, dumped in the trash can of stories that the leftist media doesn't want to report, doesn't want you to know about, because they don't want you to know the effects that their harebrained garbage policies are having on actual people, actual Americans. They do this with issues across the board, from immigration to economics to crime to education. They don't want you to actually see what's going on. The Associated Press twisted the story of Lake and Riley's murder from the dangers of illegal immigration to focus instead on the fears of solo female athletes. So this is about a women going jogging issue. Sounds a little bit like victim shaming to me, don't you think? Maybe she just shouldn't have been out jogging by herself. Maybe women should just take more care. Maybe they should go jogging in pairs. God knows we don't want them to actually carry a firearm for their own protection. No. That's not what we mean. No. But, you know, maybe women should just not go jogging by themselves. Maybe it was a little bit her fault for being out alone in broad daylight on a university campus. They then referred to the 26-year-old illegal alien alleged murderer as an Athens resident instead of a Venezuelan illegal alien. We can't call him an illegal alien, right? At best, we can call him an immigrant, a migrant, right? That's a softer term. We just lump legal immigrants in with illegal aliens, which, by the way, pisses off legal immigrants more than anybody. People who came here lawfully, people who actually came here the right way, who stood in line, who got their visa, who did things correctly. Not the same as an illegal alien who just jumps the border and expects to be let in, to mooch off of the system. Not the same thing at all. And this guy certainly was not just an Athens resident any more than he was a New York City resident. He was an illegal alien residing unlawfully. CNN also claimed Ibarra was, quote, of Athens. Now he's of Athens. He wasn't of Athens. He was of Venezuela. But yeah, he's of Athens, and emphasized, by the way, that according to UGA Police Chief Jeff Clark, he does not have an extensive criminal history. Got to make sure we point that out, right? Got to make sure we understand, you know, this. It's not like this guy was a career criminal or anything. He just murdered one person that one time. Doesn't necessarily make him, like, you know, a bad dude. And these media outlets, they love to emphasize the fact that police say that it's likely that Barra murdered Lake and Riley in a panic. You see a lot of leftist media seizing on this detail that he really just meant to assault her, right? Which we all understand probably what he was attempting to do, right? Wasn't like he was just looking to get a couple of punches in, right? He attacked her, probably intending to sexually assault her. And when she fought back, He panicked. And then he killed her. So he wasn't a career criminal. He didn't have an extensive history, never mind that he had been arrested in New York City for, you know, posing a threat to a minor and motor vehicle violations. Never mind that the first thing that he did when he came into this country was come unlawfully, which is a crime in and of itself, even if the Biden administration doesn't want to treat it that way. Never mind that he did have a criminal history. It wasn't an extensive one. It wasn't necessarily a violent one. Oh, and by the way, he probably didn't even mean to murder this girl. He just meant to rape her a little bit. And when she fought back, then he bludgeoned her to death. Because they have to whitewash this whole thing like this is not indicative of a migrant crime crisis. This isn't indicative of how migrants usually act. CNN then ran an opinion piece entitled, quote, Lake and Riley deserves justice not to be exploited as a symbol of xenophobia or hate. Side note, by the way, for any idiot out there who's still stymied by this very basic and simple fact, it's not xenophobic in the least to oppose illegal immigration. Wanting a secure border does not in the least mean that you don't want to welcome immigrants in a lawful, orderly, well-documented way. So we, you know who's coming into this country. That we know that they're able to support themselves and make meaningful contributions to this nation. Who aren't, you know, known evil people with criminal histories and gang ties. It's not xenophobic or hateful to want to keep evil people out of your country. God knows we've got enough homegrown ones right here already, thanks to idiotic left-wing policies that promote poverty and purposelessness and confusion and brokenness in nearly every major facet of our society, which is a breeding ground for crime and trouble. We've got enough of those. Don't need to bring in more. It does not follow that you hate or are afraid of foreign-born people simply because you want a thorough vetting process for people being allowed to come here. And that's exactly what we're lacking, and we're paying the price for it. We have allowed countless evil people into this country, many of them under the Biden administration. Now, I recall, and you may as well, back in 2015, do you remember when President Donald Trump, who was still, you know, a candidate at the time, and he said during a campaign speech that under then-President Barack Obama's open border policies, which, as I mentioned, fueled all of this well before Joe Biden showed up on the scene. It's only gotten worse since then. But under Barack Obama's policies that allowed illegal aliens into this country en masse and largely refused to deport many of them, we were letting in dangerous criminals, Trump said, and evil people. Because we had no way of telling them apart from the people that were coming here simply seeking a better life. Again, still doesn't make illegal immigration okay. But we are letting in evil people with evil intentions who already have criminal histories into this country. Remember when Donald Trump said that? Here he is.
They're not sending their best. They're not sending you. They're not sending you. They're sending people that have lots of problems. They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists. And some, I assume, are good people.
Remember that? Remember that moment? And that simple statement, which was 100% true then and is 100% true now, that simple statement riled up the left-wing media like you would not believe. Remember how they absolutely castigated him for saying that? We're letting in criminals. We're letting in drug dealers. We're letting in rapists. True. That was a proven fact then. And anybody that agreed with that, Trump and anyone who agreed that our border was leaking like a spaghetti strainer and that we were letting in bad actors into this country because we didn't have a thorough vetting process, which is what a legal immigration system is supposed to be, but because we were completely disregarding our own legal immigration system and just letting people hop the border and come into this country, there was no way to vet them. And anybody that was concerned about that very true, very factual statement that some illegal aliens are rapists and murderers who go on to commit crimes against innocent people in this country, we were all xenophobes and racists and Nazis. That's the riff that kept getting yanked out. And you see that it's the riff that continues to be yanked out. We're now using Lake and Riley as a platform for xenophobia and hate. We're not xenophobic. I'm not afraid of foreign-born people. I don't hate immigrants. I think it's fantastic that our country has the most generous immigration system in the world. And that anybody who wants to come here that is a good person that wants to make meaningful contributions to our society, that wants to assimilate into our culture, that wants to bring the best of themselves to make our country better. I think it is fantastic that we have a legal immigration system that allows that. This country was built on people recognizing the dumpster fires in their own country and saying, America has something better. I want that. And I want to contribute to that. I want to be part of building a good society like that. And I think that's fantastic. But caring about who's coming into your country is not xenophobic. And it turns out that Trump was right then, and that continues to be true. We are now seeing a crime wave committed by illegal aliens, many of whom have been allowed into this country under the Biden administration. And now those chickens are coming home to roost. And we're seeing it over and over and over again in near daily headlines. Just in this past month, a Venezuelan migrant in the United States illegally, after he was stopped and then released at the border just 5 months ago, has now been charged in Virginia with sexually assaulting a 14-year-old girl. Renzo Mendoza Montes, he's 32 years old. He was arrested last week on two felony charges for sexually assaulting an underage child in Campbell County. He's facing charges of carnal knowledge of a child without force and taking indecent liberties with a child. Authorities say Montes is a Venezuelan citizen. He's only been in the country since he illegally crossed the southern border into El Paso, Texas on September 2nd of last year. He was detained and released by U.S. Customs and Border Protection. And now he's here in this country. Yay! An illegal migrant from El Salvador was arrested just this past week in Maryland and charged with the murder of a 2-year-old who was shot and killed earlier this month. Nilson Trejo Granados, 25 years old, was charged by the Prince George County Police Department with first and second degree murder. He's the fifth person arrested in connection with the death of toddler Jeremy Caceres, who was shot to death while he was out on a walk in the park with his mother on February the 8th. If that's not bad enough, this is yet another criminal who really not only shouldn't have been in this country in the first place, but who was also allowed to remain in this country despite having committed multiple crimes. A DOJ immigration judge in Newark, New Jersey, had ordered his removal from the United States in November of 2022. But of course, that didn't happen because it rarely does. So then in March of last year, he was charged by the Montgomery police with theft. So ICE lodged an immigration detainer on him, seeking to take custody of him after he was released from the local jail. But the police department in Montgomery County, because it is a sanctuary county in Maryland, refused to honor the detainer and released Trejo Granados back into the public. He was then arrested again by the Montgomery County Police Department in September of last year. That time he was charged with theft and attempting to obstruct and hinder. So this is a guy with a rap sheet. He was a known criminal. He was a known illegal alien. He had already been ordered deported. That didn't happen. Local police would not turn him over to ICE. They launched not one, but two immigration detainers on him after he committed crimes. They were not honored. And now a 2-year-old boy is dead. At least 4 illegal aliens have been arrested in Montana this month alone in connection with separate stabbings that left multiple people injured. Then on January 27th, of course, we know that 2 New York City police officers were mobbed and brutally assaulted by at least 8 illegal aliens, several of whom were released on bond, only to flee to California. Also in New York City, a 15-year-old illegal alien from Venezuela, recent border crosser, was arrested earlier this month for shooting a woman in the leg and firing into New York City's crowded Times Square during a robbery attempt. Fantastic. Fantastic people we're letting in. Best and brightest, let me tell you. Also earlier this month, an illegal alien named Rafael Gouveia Romero was indicted in the 2023 stabbing death of another college student named Lisbeth Medina in Texas. Remember this one? Romero allegedly killed Medina last December in her own home during a burglary attempt. Police say he killed the 16-year-old girl by hitting her in the head with a hard object and repeatedly stabbing or cutting her with a sharp object or edged weapon. Her mom, her own mother, came home to find her daughter's bloody body lying in the bathtub of their apartment. She had come home looking for her daughter after Elizabeth missed a parade she was supposed to be in as a cheerleader. She never showed up. People called her mother. Her mother became concerned. Went to the parade looking for her, didn't see her, went home and found her daughter dead in a bathtub stabbed to death, allegedly by this illegal alien. In Seattle, another sanctuary city ruled by left-wing idiocy, U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement this month arrested 5 illegal immigrants convicted of child exploitation, and then another 2 who have all been protected under Washington sanctuary state rules. Among these is a 53-year-old from El Salvador living in Tacoma. He was convicted of felony child molestation in the first degree, child molestation in the second degree, and rape of a child in the third degree. Another is a 24-year-old man from Mexico who was convicted of possessing pictures of minors engaged in sexually explicit conduct. A 42-year-old Mexican citizen who was convicted of dealing in depictions of a minor engaged in sexually explicit conduct. A 39-year-old Mexican citizen who was convicted of communicating with a minor for immoral purposes. I guess we can all kind of assume what that means. A 69-year-old Mexican citizen convicted of basically just dealing child porn. And another 58-year-old Mexican citizen who was convicted of child molestation in the first degree and second degree and rape of a child in the third degree. These are all people that have been arrested in the last few weeks alone in Washington state. When Trump said we were letting in rapists, he was correct, quite literally. You might remember this one in the D.C. area just a few weeks ago. Well, I don't even know that it was a few weeks ago. It might have only been a couple of weeks ago. There was a story of a man who shot 3 D.C. police officers during a 13-hour standoff. He had barricaded himself in a home. They were serving an arrest warrant for animal cruelty. And he shot 3 D.C. police officers during this standoff. How in the world he made it out alive without being shot to death himself, quite frankly, is a mercy by the police department, if you ask me. But he, in the meantime, shot 3 D.C. police officers, thankfully, who lived but are injured. Turns out, we now know, thanks to local reports, because God knows the national news media isn't going to do their job. Thanks to local reports, we now know that the assailant, the shooter of these D.C. police officers was 48-year-old Stephen Claude Radigan. He is an illegal alien from Jamaica. His criminal history dates back to 1995. He was previously deported in 2001, but came back into the country illegally, only to shoot 3 D.C. cops. 4 immigrants from Venezuela were arrested Saturday for allegedly robbing and beating a man on a Chicago train. Police say the 4 men robbed and beat the 49-year-old victim unconscious. They've been charged with robbery and aggravated battery and strangulation. NBC Boston reports earlier this week that a motor vehicle stop on Interstate 95 in Massachusetts led to the capture of a fugitive MS-13 gang member wanted for murder in El Salvador. This was a guy with a criminal history in his own country. And he was in this country illegally. Police departments in multiple U.S. cities, including Phoenix, Detroit, and Abington, Pennsylvania, say that highly organized South American gangs are now breaking into people's high-end homes in the suburbs. They're making off with jewelry and other valuables all across this country. But none of us should be bothered by this. None of this should be cause for concern. In fact, none of these illegal aliens, you know, raping children, murdering college students, burglarizing homes, beating the stuffing out of cops, you know, shooting people in Times Square, none of that should frame our immigration debate. At least that's what Democrat Congresswoman Katie Porter says, and CNN was happy to give her all the airtime in the world, which I suppose, frankly, we should be thankful for, just so we know how putrid these people have become. Here is Porter on CNN.
Well, I think when a horrible tragedy like this happens, I think whenever we're dealing with violent crime, there is a sense of outrage, of sadness, and of loss. But I think the important thing to focus on is any one instance shouldn't shape our overall immigration policy.
Weird. Because when a white man commits a heinous crime, he's used to brand all white men as, you know, evil white supremacists. When one evil person with a usually illegal firearm commits a crime, they're used to brand millions of Second Amendment supporters as child killers and murderers by proxy, right? When a black man is shot by the cops, we've got to dismantle every single police precinct in America and fill it with hippies who can walk around throwing patchouli at people to stop crimes, right? But when a whole mess of illegal aliens commit crimes, nothing to see here. Clearly not indicative of a problem.
Nothing broken about this system. We shouldn't use one or, you know, two or, I don't know, a whole litany of examples that seem to be cropping up on a daily basis. Now, we shouldn't use that to shape our policy about how we let people into this country just because a whole mess of people are now maimed or dead. That's just not fair, right? The left likes to change their rules based on whatever narrative they're pushing that day. When the simple fact of the matter is this, this is undeniable, this is proven, we now have all kinds of receipts covered in blood. The Biden administration has allowed millions of unvetted, unknown people into this country. At best, they are illegal border crossers who commit a crime by coming into this country unlawfully in between ports of entry, who then go on to live off of the tax-funded system that they have not paid a dime into in order to get their feet under them. At best, we're talking about people who commit at least one crime just in coming here unlawfully. At worst, we are allowing in dangerous criminals who go on to victimize American citizens, legal immigrants, children, college students, people on trains. And this is happening on a daily basis, thanks to the Biden administration and not just him, but every single leftist, every single progressive Democrat that supported this system. Joe Biden campaigned on this, not because it was his bright idea. I'm not sure the man has ever had a bright idea. I'm not sure he's actually had an idea at all in years. I'm not sure his brain is functional enough for one. But he campaigned on this for a reason. There had to be an appetite for this kind of insanity in order for him to campaign on it back in 2020. This is what the left wanted. This is what the left was looking for in a president. So this is what he promised, and this is what he has done. And now we are seeing the repercussions of this. And the family of Lake and Riley and all of these other victims will be feeling it for the rest of their lives. Completely unavoidable, should never have happened, and is not going to stop. Is not going to stop. Until someone puts a stop to it. Until all of the Americans who have gotten so fed up that they're now saying immigration is their number one concern because of this insanity. That's the only time that it stops. Because this, mark my words, this is what the left wants. This open border policy, they don't care how many people get hurt. They don't care how many innocent victims are lying dead in the street. They want to import a new voter base. And if people like Lake and Riley end up being collateral damage in their minds, so be it. So be it. This is not accidental. This is intentional. And with that, that's the Brittany Hughes Show. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm not going to be here next week, just an FYI. I'm not going to be here next week, taking a much needed vacation with my family. Try to do that every so often, get some good time with the husband and kids and sort of turn my brain off from this madness every now and then. So going to be back in 2 weeks from now. In the meantime, head on over to Apple Podcasts, hit the subscribe button on the Brittany Hughes Show. That way you won't ever miss an episode. Also, while you're over there, make sure you subscribe to the Newsbusters podcast with Tim Graham. That one's on Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays. If you have not subscribed to that one, you are missing out. We've got lots of content for you guys to download on your phones. You can listen to it going to or from work, dropping your kids off at school, whatever. And so I will see you guys back here in 2 weeks. Until then, I hope you guys have a fantastic weekend and a great week upcoming. God bless.